We're doing the Navi Yeshayah. We're up to what they call the 26th chapter, the 12th Pasuk. The Navi says, Adonai tishpot shalom lahanu. Over here, notice the word tishpot concludes with a taf. It's not like tishpot with a tet. Tishpot with a tet comes from the word shafat, to judge, to punish. Tishpot with a taf, like it's written here, comes from the word shifot. Shifot means to lay a pot on its place. When you settle a pot on its place, that's called lishpot akdeira. It's with a taf, not with a tet. So Hashem, tishpot shalom lanu, place peace upon us. Let peace settle upon us like a pot sits comfortably on the flame, on the stove. Ki gam kol ma'aseinu pa'alta lanu. Hashem, we know that whatever has happened to us comes from you. It hasn't happened by coincidence. Gam kol ma'aseinu. Everything that we've encountered, the good, the bad, the difficult, the painful, all of that, pa'alta lanu, you have done unto us. And Rashi gives a slightly different understanding. Kigam kol ma'aseinu, for all of our actions, what we've done wrong, pa'alta lanu, we've already been punished for them. And so now we turn to you, Hashem, and say, we pray for peace. Hashem tishpot shalom lanu. Hashem, give us peace, because we've already paid our dues, so to speak. Adonai Eloheinu be'alunu adonim zulatecha. Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem, our God. Be'alunu adonim. The word Baal has multiple meanings. The word Baal sometimes means a husband. And people think that the word Baal as a husband comes from the word Baal, which means owner. It's very interesting. People think that if he is Ba'ali, if he is my husband, so in Hebrew maybe Ba'ali means my master, my owner. But the truth is that the word Ba'al has many meanings. The word Ba'al in marriage, we see in the Navi, it says, Ki chasher yered hageshem hasheleg min hashamayim. Just as we're going to read this on Tuesday, we have a fast day Tuesday, Shavuos Betamuz. So we read at Mincha, we read the Haftarah, ki chasher yered hageshem hasheleg min hashamayim. Just as the rain and the snow come down from heaven, v'shama lo yashuv, and it ain't going back to the heaven. Until it satiates the earth, and the earth gives birth, and the rain impregnates the earth, and it gives forth vegetation. Veholida, and he impregnates the earth. The rain impregnates the earth. Vehitzmicha, and then the earth gives its vegetation. So the Gemara says, Mitra Bala De'ara. The rain is the husband of the earth. And the Gemara learns it from that Pasuk.
Where is this Pasuk?
In Isaiah. We'll get there. In Yeshayah. So the Navi describes that the rain impregnates the earth. And the Gemara derives from that that the rain is the Baal of the earth. Does that mean the rain is the owner of the earth? The Gemara seems to understand that the word Baal means one who is going to impregnate. Meaning the husband in Hebrew is he who will impregnate, he who will produce fruits with his wife. So that's very different than what we would think. Baal, it seems from Chazal and other sources as well, means the partner who produces fruits. Not what we would think. Not the owner, the master. Yes, the word Baal could also mean master or owner. So here, Am Yisrael turns to Hashem, back to our Pasuk. The people of Israel turn to Hashem and say, Hashem, our God, Be'alunu Adonim, we have been taken into servitude. Over here, the word Baal does mean master. We have masters who have taken control of us, Zulatecha, other than you. We would like to be under your reign, and we don't have that benefit. We don't have that. We are under other nations. Levad Becha Nazkil Shemecha, and we have nonetheless remained faithful to you. We only mention your name. The nations will try to force us. We've had forced conversions. We've had inquisitions. We've had a terrible history where the nations have tried to force us out of our faith. And Be'alunu Adonim, over here it means they've Zulatecha, to the exclusion of you, Hashem. The nations have taken control over us and they've tried to exclude you from our lives. And we have remained faithful. Levad Becha Nazkil Shemecha. We mention your name alone. We do not take on their names. That's why it's mind-boggling for me when a Jew will say, Jesus Christ. Well, what are you saying? I don't understand. How could, all the years we've had nations trying to force us to swear by their gods, and we refused it, as the Navi says. And now that we're free, so that's going to be part of our slang? It's the exact opposite. All the years, that's what the Navi's saying. Be'alunu Adonim Zulatecha, they tried to force us. There's Halacha in Shulchan Aruch that was censored. Shulchan Aruch goes in the order of our day, right? So the Shulchan Aruch in the end of the morning, the Shulchan Aruch goes through, you wake up in the morning, you wash your hands, you put on tzitzis, you make a blessing, you relieve yourself, you make a blessing. The order of the Shulchan Aruch is in the order of a Jew's day. You put on a talis, the order, the mitzvah, all the laws of tzitzis. You put on tefillin, the laws of tefillin. Then the Shulchan Aruch talks about the laws of davening in the morning, going into shul, kriyas haTorah, chazaras hashatz, birchos kohanim, kriyas haTorah. And then you finished your morning, you go out to work. So the Shulchan Aruch, aside from the whole, in the Codex, we have a whole volume called Choshen Mishpat that discusses monetary laws. But in Orach Chaim, in the first volume that discusses a Jew's day or a Jew's regular life, you have one siman about doing business. And that siman was heavily censored. Meaning if you look at the Torah and the Beis Yosef and in the Shulchan Aruch less, half the siman is missing. Why? Because it says there, one should be careful not to form a partnership with a non-Jew, because if you guys will have disputes, he will take you to the non-Jewish court and they will make you put your hand on a non-Jewish Bible and swear by a non-Jewish God. So because a Jew is not allowed to swear by anyone other than Hashem, that's why it says don't enter a partnership with a non-Jew, because in court you're going to have to swear by their God. So look at how far the halacha takes it. Now the halacha says, don't even make such a partnership lest you come to swear by their God. And people today will just say it like that. It's mind-boggling. And here the Navi says, throughout our history, Be'alunu Adonim Zulatecha, they tried to make us accept masters, anyone but you, to the exclusion of Hashem. Levad Bechanas Kir Shemecha, but throughout our history we've been faithful. And that's why we turn to Hashem and we beg for peace. This Pasuk is the explanation of the previous Pasuk. Pasuk Yud Dalet. Meitim Bal Yichyu. Two interpretations here. One interpretation is the reason we don't take their threats, we don't take them seriously, is because we know that their gods are dead. They have no life. Refaim Bal Yakumu. They're corpses and they're not coming back. Now, this is again a scary pasuk. Yeshaya lived how many years before Jesus? About a millennium before Yeshu. Before Yeshaya lived a few hundred years or 70 years before the destruction of the first temple. You have another 70 years in exile. You have another 500 years. So we're talking about 500, 600 years. And Yeshaya is saying their gods are dead and they're not coming back. Their gods are but corpses and they're not returning. Okay, if this isn't an obvious reference, I don't know what is. You know, why does he describe their gods as dead? Did they believe Hercules was alive and dead? Okay, so you could say he was talking about the Greek gods. He was talking about all the pagan gods of the Babylonians. But today, that we look in hindsight at this prophecy, it seems very obvious. Meitim balichyu refaim balichumu lachin pakata tashmidim. That's why Hashem, you will take their worshippers to task, and we know you will put them down. And ultimately, you will eradicate any memory of that worship. Hashem, we know that as much as we suffer, we know, yasafta lagoy. Now, it's interesting, the word goy in Hebrew is very often a reference to the Jewish people. We are called a goy. Interesting, right? According to some, we are the only nation that's called a goy. The other nations are called mishpechot amim, families of nations. The word goy, according to some, comes from the word gav. Gav in Hebrew is a back or a formed unit. And we believe that we were formed as one unit, as a nation. The others are like families, mishpechot amim. So that's why some say in the blessings of the morning, shelo asani nochri. They don't say shelo asani goy. In the Yekesh Siddur, in the Riddleheim, it says shelo asani nochri. It doesn't say shelo asani goy. So in modern slang, we talk about a non-Jew, we say goy. But the truth is that we are the goy. God tells Yaakov Avinu, goy ukhal goyim yitzei mimeka. Mimecha yitzeu. Goy is a nation, and family and multitudes of nations will come from you. We say each tribe is called a goy. Okay, so most Jews today, I think, make the blessing shelo asani goy. But it's interesting. Yes, and I don't know who's on first. Yeah.
When it says lo yitzak goy al goy, is it talking specifically about Jewish nation?
Very nice. That's why I said some say. Because there are definitely questions about that opinion. But you'll see throughout Tanakh that very often goy is a reference to the Jewish people. To say it's only a reference to the Jewish people, it seems we don't accept that opinion because most people say shelo asani goy. An average Jew, you ask him, what's a goy? He'll tell you, of course, a goy is anyone but a Jew, right? Just a second, he was waiting, yeah.
Just, that's part of the prayer that we say in each service, but the goy expression, when did it then kind of come into the language? Was it menace?
I don't know.
Was it just menace saying, well, they're not like us? Or,
I don't know.
It's actually like a blessing in disguise, kind of.
I don't know.
Anyway.
Yes.
Was it Anshe Kenneth's Gedola that formulated the morning prophet, or were they a later thing? What's our reference for them? Is it in Shas?
It says in the Gemara that's one of the blessings a person makes every day. Shlo asani goy, shlo asani aved, shlo asani bur. In the Gemara, if I remember correctly, it does say goy, but again, you can't know what the censors did. That's hard to know. That's one of the things
so
we'd have to check.
It over to avoid any...
Right. I don't know. I don't know.
What was the expression that you...
It's a verse in Prophets, in Yeshaya.
Okay.
One nation will no longer attack another nation. There are many places where it seems we'd have to answer how... So some will say that's a borrowed term. It's the main goy is us, and the rest is a borrowed term. Okay. Yasafta lagoy Hashem, yasafta lagoy nichbadta. The more you give the Jewish people, the more they honor you. Gentlemen, how many people had in mind this morning in Modim to thank Hashem for all the missiles that are miraculously avoiding harm. It's mind-boggling. We're so used to it. We're living in miracles. Last night, 7 missiles were fired simultaneously. 4 were taken down by Kipat Barzel. 2 fell in uninhabited lands. And the last one fell between 2 buildings. So there was a little fire there. They put it out. And we're used to this. Hundreds of missiles are being shot at us. And we're living as though it's normal. It's perfectly normal that we have this miraculous Kipat Barzel. It's not only Kipat Barzel because they don't succeed. It's not 100% success, right? Yasafta Lagoy, the Navi says, Yasafta Lagoy Nichbata, the more you give the Jewish people, the more they honor you. We have to live up to that. We have a lot to be thankful for. Every hour. We're sitting here right now. That's not self-evident. That's not obvious. The fact that we could be here and we don't have to sit in bunkers all the time. Richakta kol katzvei aretz. And you've distanced the rest of the people on earth. They don't have that connection with you because they don't give thanks. The Navi is saying that our hallmark and our unique trait is that we do thank Hashem when good things happen to us. And as much as we have to continue davening, we also have to give thanks. When they asked me to lead a Tehillim in our shul, so I chose the chapter Ahavti Ki Yishma Hashem Et Koli, because that chapter I think reflects where we are today. What is Ahavti Ki Yishma Hashem Et Koli? We say it in Hallel. I love when Hashem listens to me. On the one hand, Hashem listens. On the other hand, it's Tachnunai. Hashem is listening. Look at the blessings we're having. And on the other hand, we're still begging. We're still in a state of danger. And that's a balance we have to maintain now. We have to say thank you for what we're getting and keep praying for the future. So we'll pick up here next week.